Welcome to the Two Broker Girls Real Estate Podcast. I am your host, Sandy Lynn Burnett. I am here with not a broker nor a girl.
I'm not completely broke, and I'm definitely not a girl.
I'm here with a special guest, Landon Ross. He is, you know what, we'll talk about a little bit. I've got a topic today that I think is super important, and I kind of want to set the tone. So this podcast, this real estate podcast, is for agents, just to help them through their real estate career. We're in kind of like a beginning phase to where these agents, you know, they're newly licensed. We're in a crawl, walk, run phase. They're trying to figure out a way to, you know, hustle more business. And I know that when I was a brand new agent, I was worried about, well, imposter syndrome. Are people going to feel like I don't know what I'm talking about? So this is for you new agents working with the perfect client, which is first-time home buyers.
I was one of those. So that's you know, that's where my expertise comes
I
in
was
here.
Too. Yeah. We have that in common.
Yes.
So I think that this is perfect for you new agents and really for any agents that might have had their confidence shaken. This is an industry where we're only paid, basically we're unemployed until we get our next, you know, client. So I think it's really important.
Technically, that's the way my business is too.
I can own
a business all I want, but if I don't have any clients, then I'm just unemployed with an office building that I have to pay for.
And you know what's cool? Like, let's talk about how Landon landed into the seat. So Landon is what I have learned is one of the best things or to focus on in my real estate career is strong relationships with vendors. And Landon is my internet guy. I mean, really, there's no way else to word that.
A lot of people have called me that.
We're on a national platform, so I'll just plug you really quick. If you have Metronet even close to your town, it's coming into your town, fiber optic internet, and you are thinking about going with Metronet, we'll have Landon's contact information. Doesn't matter how old this podcast is. Couldn't hurt to give him a call.
Yeah, so. And there's a lot of cities that it's in already. We are luckily just getting it now. Mm-hmm. But yes, it's in East Lansing, Michigan. It's in Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah.
It's coming to Tallahassee. It's 100%. Coming to Ames.
Yeah.
Rochester, Minnesota. So yeah, it's and I'm allowed to have customers in all those places.
Right.
And I can answer the same questions anybody. I mean, I do love that I'm a local guy to hear. So that's kind of what I use as my reason to call me around here, mm-hmm. is because, hey, you know, we probably ran into each other at Hy-Vee before or something like that. I can still answer your question even if I'm not in the same city as you.
And this is something that I was going to get into a little bit later with realtors. You know what? Having a guy on any front, whether it's an inspector you can call on a whim or a handyman or, you know, just to have these good relationships built with these vendors. When I got into the industry, I saw realtors, I cuss on this podcast.
Okay.
I saw realtors treating lenders or vendors like shit. What? I'm sorry, I said the S word.
Okay.
Sandy. So really like, realtors, like, we get this huge ego, we start making a few thousand dollars, and all of a sudden, and you know what, these vendors really do depend on us realtors for referrals, and we know lots of people, and that kind of gives you an undeserved ego as well. So my biggest advice to you new agents, don't get sucked into that trap. Build real relationships with these real people, because it'll come back. It'll come back to you. So let's just get into the episode. I wanted to talk about one reason why I was thinking about this was because the rates dropped like crazy. And, you know, it's going to be a big deal to hustle buyers when you're brand new in the real estate business. It's not like people are going to be knocking your door down asking for you to list their home. So buyers is, it tends to be kind of like where you're lucky enough to start when you actually get a client. How can you pick up some buyers? Obviously we had an open house podcast. You can pick up buyers doing opens. I'm going to break down an open house series in the future on really good things to kind of draw out their timeline out of them and things like that. If you have a good CRM, it's super easy to hit up a couple of fellow real estate agents, ask them, would you mind if I advertised your listing? Because as a seller, I'm sure you'd love a bunch of realtors to basically blast your listing out there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you need the listing agent's permission. They are the ones that secured that listing. So just make sure if you're allowed to do that with your brokerage and in your state that you're crediting. It's kind of funny because if you look at, like, you're friends with lots of real estate agents, and if you look at their listings, especially if they're newer, scroll down to the bottom. Sometimes it'll just say listing provided courtesy of blah, blah. But you really think, like, man, they are kicking some ass. Like, they're doing awesome. Just specifically by them, like, hey, this house is beautiful, 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom, da 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 da.
And then they get used as a referral.
Exactly. You're just like, wow, they're really doing good. I'm going to remember that agent, you know? Sure. But if you scroll down, sometimes it's usually just listing provided courtesy of other agent. And you would have never known as the consumer
that all they did was tell somebody else about it.
They're just advertising a listing, and you're like, wow, good job on getting that house going, you know. Right. So it's just a nice trick to do. You know, there's going to be maybe more successful, maybe even some burnt out agents in your office or your area. They're going to be getting sign calls. Maybe as a listing agent, they don't want to do dual agency. I had some really successful agents just be like, hey, do you want this sign call for a 25% referral fee? And I'm like, yeah, great. I'll show a house tonight. I don't care. You know what I mean? So just make sure you're willing to get, like, drop anything to go work with these people that are coming to you for free. You did not pay for these leads, anything.
Well, that's in any business. If you,
you gotta hustle
until you get established, I guess, where you can kind of start picking your clients, deciding which jobs you want to do and don't want to do. If you ever get to that point, I still haven't ever gotten to that point.
Me neither.
But
I wish.
You have to hustle, because otherwise you might think that everybody in the world knows about you. Everybody in the world does not know about you.
And you know what? You are one new agent away from not being the top dog. Like, just in both of our industries, like, there is, if somebody's hungrier than you and more willing to get out there and do that, we are in the sales business. You can never get too comfortable.
Right.
You know, so
yeah, if somebody calls me and say, you know, and just because it's 8 p.m., I go, I'm not going to answer my phone, or, oh, you know, I'm just going to pick it up and say, well, sorry, I can't help you. It's after 8. Call customer service.
Or be in a shitty mood or something.
Right. Then, yeah, that might be the last call that I get from them or anybody that they know.
Oh, yeah. They might be pissed off enough to, like, let their friends know not to call you.
Somebody can, blast you out as the greatest thing ever on their social media, but just as quickly and probably with more traction, they can blast you out as being horrible.
Yep, 100%. I mean, and so we really do have that in common. And, you know, see, it's not so bad. You get what you have a lot to say, a lot more to say than you thought you would, actually. But really,
imagine that. I talk a bunch.
So, here's something that I have talked to newer agents about. It's kind of weird because you'll actually learn this later on as you make a bunch of mistakes that waste your time and your efforts and your money. And then so try to learn this now from me, Sandy Burnett,
I'm
before doing all of this. Okay. So here's the thing, like, when you get these leads or you get these people on the phone, you're going to end up finding your own, like, ebb and flow about how to gauge their seriousness or whatever. But I would say the first thing you want to ask anybody after you're like, oh, you want to see this property at this time? That sounds great. Is, are you working with a realtor right now? Is another agent helping you out? You would not believe how many, like, trips to Rock Island or something that I've saved myself just by hearing, oh, yeah, so-and-so's busy, though. I need somebody else to show it to me.
So they just want you, they just want the access into the house because who they're already working with is busy?
Yes. That happens. But you know what? Like, sometimes agent, like, I'm sure that other agent would be horrified that their client called another agent. Yeah. Usually I'll even shoot them a heads up if I know the agent. Like do unto others.
Go.
Oh, I do that a lot. I'm like, so-and-so hustling around for other agents to, like, or they don't believe you about an answer about a property or anything. You know, oh, it's under contract. What if I call 5 more agents that'll give me an answer that I want to hear? So I would say there's a very important process to, like, not wasting your own time, your time away from your family, your time. We talk about, like, taking calls at 8 p.m. Or running out to go help somebody and stuff, but that is your rest time. That is, so just make sure that you get really good really quickly at asking the right questions on the phone. And you know what? Like, I get it. You don't maybe have to ask, like, are you pre-approved with a lender? Like, that's going to be a turnoff if I'm a consumer, just being like, hey, this house looks really exciting. Like, maybe I'm ready to move up in life or whatever, right? Or I'm a first-time home buyer.
But you could be not pre-approved yet that far in the process, but still a serious buyer.
Also, or maybe you don't have to be, like, dickish when you're asking the question, and you can finesse your capabilities by being like, hey, have you been talking to a lender to make sure, like, you're all, well, actually what I do is I just pretend they're rich. And so I'm like,
yeah, I was going to say, I might just be a smart ass if you ask me that. And I'll be like, nah, I got cash.
No, I ask, like, are you going to be a cash buyer or have you been talking with a lender? Like, it's just like, so you're like, ooh, you're like not even assuming anything about my sweatshirt. You're not even assuming
that my credit's bad.
Yeah. Little do you know. So, I mean, it's really important to, I mean, you want to gauge your audience, be professional, but there is a way to be asking these questions without driving 40 minutes. I have some agents that drive an hour and a half to go show a house to somebody. And then they get back and they're like, Sandy, so guess what? Like, they weren't exactly pre-approved and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? And then, okay, so I do want to cover down on this. If you're working with, I've named this episode first-time homebuyers, but we're kind of not even there. The reason why I named the episode first-time homebuyers is because if a buyer is a first-time buyer, they don't know what you don't know. Like, you as an agent, you as a new agent can be their hero. You can be the only agent they've ever thought of to refer business to in the future. I mean, this is your time to shine.
It's really easy to forget that people don't know everything about you. You, if you put it in your head that, like, oh, these other people know so much more than me, or these other people have been doing this so much longer than me. Not everybody knows that. And the way that other people see you is way different from the way you see yourself.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I have an idea about myself, but that's not the way that everybody else sees me. So you can project yourself to people. Yeah. Any way you want. Now, if you get too wild with it, they might just not believe you and think that you're a total bullshitter.
Yeah.
But there's a happy medium in between not having any confidence and knowing that you can do what you can do and taking it too far and being like, yeah, I sold 4 million houses last year, so you should go with
like,
me.
Like, I'm just going to look up your stats real quick.
Right.
One Zillow review. Okay, you're full of shit.
Honestly, and like I said, I'm not in real estate, so I'm sure it's a little bit different. But with me, as long as I answer somebody's questions, I'm nice to them and easy to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
I've never really had anybody else, had anybody say, you know what, you're pretty cool, but I think I'll see what the next guy can do for me. Unless it was something that I literally could not do for them.
Well, honestly, it's different than buying a house, because I would never say this about buying a house, but I don't have, like, you're installing, or not installing, but you're selling Metronet, fiber optic internet. If I had Metronet in my neighborhood, I would switch internets for you, because I like you and I want to do business with you. You know what I mean?
Thanks.
But
now I'm gonna put that on the fast track to get it in your neighborhood.
Yeah, thank you, because Tim Hernandez would thank you as well. Okay, so my point is that, you know, if you become, you know, the kind of person you want to be, that doesn't even come out right, but you guys get what I'm saying. You can still have your personality. You guys listen to me, you know, saying weird stuff on the air all the time, and you still like me, hopefully. So I do. I get a lot of, you know, fun feedback from people, and they're just like, I like that you just tell it how it is, or you say whatever you want. But ultimately, this podcast is designed to help you as agents, but I'm going to have some fun with it. So the point is like, you won't forget me anytime soon. So I guess I beat that horse to death. So just make sure you're going to learn these lessons on your own, but kind of try to sniff out, are they a time waster? Also, safety-wise, if you are talking to somebody that you've never met and they, you know, like just want you to come out and show them a house at night that's vacant and they don't want to even talk about getting pre-approved, like maybe you can put that off till the next day and get
a little sunshine involved. Yeah,
why don't you like bring a friend or something? Yeah. So
can we do this as a group meeting?
Also, it's a house. Like, it is a freaking house. It is the big, you know, mostly the biggest asset that somebody owns in America, at least. So it's like, no, we need to have a little bit of a conversation.
Sure. Yeah, I don't want to meet
the risks. You know,
on the 10 p.m. tip and be like, oh yeah, cool, good to go. All right.
That said, I do go with my gut. There are some types of people that I'm feeling out and I'm talking to, and it's like, I do feel like I might piss them off, insult them, lose their business. Like, I will go maybe hustle a little bit for them, without putting them through the ropes. So there's no like right or wrong way. I just wanted to kind of give those tips and those ideas. It is okay to kind of, you know, have a give and take. Don't be a doormat. Like, if somebody feels like they can walk all over you and make them show you, you know, show them 20 houses without even showing a sign of good faith on their end, like, don't, you know, just have a little self-respect. I know that we all work on commission, we're hustling for the deal, but that's just my two cents. Also, when you have a buyer consult, if you're sitting down with them in an office setting or at a desk, my favorite thing to do, so like, you know those HGTV shows where it's like, I'm a dog walker and right. She's an...
And our budget is 3.5 mil.
Yes, exactly.
We breed butterflies, and we've been doing really good at that this past year.
That is why, like, get them pre-approved, because they might not know. Like, they might be like, I want a $500,000 house, and then they're like, yeah,
me too.
But I want a $1,000 a month payment or something, you know? So what I say to my potential clients or my current clients is, let me do my very best for you. I want to make sure all of our ducks are in a row. We are in a competitive market, like, where sellers are having multiple offers. I'm like, they will not take my offer seriously unless we have our pre-approval, you know, XYZ, all these ducks in a row, and I know what I can do best.
Yeah,
for
if you got a sheet of all these offers, it's like, okay, not pre-approved. Not offering, you
exactly.
know, what
you're,
I want.
You're a consumer. What would you even take seriously? You'd be like, well, that's going in the garbage. Sure. What do we have over here?
Right.
You know?
I mean,
so
you might go you might, you know, a lot of people might just go highest to lowest, you know what I mean? Without looking at anything
any
else
other
and
terms.
Just go highest offer.
Yeah. With a pre-approval or with a, you know, a local lender, you're going to start to feel this stuff out and know who, you know, who the people are that their pre-approvals mean something. You're not just going with some random national company that like never backs it up. And there's so much you're going to learn as an agent, and you will learn a lot of these lessons the hard way, because you might be only as new as this episode is, and I haven't come out with the rest of my content yet, but that is the whole point of this show, is to just basically make sure you at least learned a couple of these lessons ahead of time without with me learning them for you.
I'm even learning a lot today.
Good. I'm glad. I could have been a teacher in another lifetime. You're making me blush. Stop, Landon. Okay, so another big thing that I want to talk about when working with buyers, which will likely be your first type of clients, is memorize, and I don't mean word for word, don't be like a jerk, but memorize, know by heart, the purchase agreement and addendums, like everything that goes along with a buyer package, like your claim to fame should be just like, have you ever gone, I mean, and had to sign a bunch of paperwork and somebody just like summarizes it for you and you're so confident in what?
Yeah.
Like we
because
have to
I'm,
be licensed to do this.
Normally, I'm not going to read every, I'm the last house.
You're
that,
depending
the last
on
house
me.
That I bought. Yeah. She, you know, I was told, this is so your payment matches what we told you it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
This is so that they can't, you know, the city can't come and sell the property out from underneath you. You know, I don't know all of that, but just, you know, I worked with somebody I trusted.
Mm-hmm.
And so I trusted that whatever they were telling me when they flipped me the paper, and maybe that's, maybe that's stupid on my part because they always say
you
should
what?
Read. But
we always
even if
joke.
I read, I looked at them and even if I read all of it without them telling me, I wouldn't understand
it.
What it was anyway.
Yes. And so, I mean, of course, I always, like, you'll have clients that'll be readers or engineers, and they want to dig deep into every detail. So, you know, I don't ever want to rush people, but I do want to be confident. Like, the most embarrassing thing that can happen to you is somebody being like, so, I don't understand. Can you tell me about paragraph 2? Like, I'm legit now. It's upside down. I'm not even looking at it. I'm like, this is what this talks about. You know, let me know if you want me to go in further detail. And I mean, you're buying a freaking house. Like, you would expect me to know that. But my point is, you might be scared or nervous or uncomfortable. I'm not supposed to say scared anymore. My coach has been, you know, so
scared doesn't
exist. I'm practicing. You might be uncomfortable doing this, but you won't be as uncomfortable or intimidated if you live, breathe, eat, and sleep that purchase agreement and all the addendums. Like, just spend a freaking week. Like,
yeah, there's a lot of things that I have to know right off the top of my head if somebody asks them to me. And yeah, after dealing with them so many times, it's just easier for me to not have to pull out a piece of paper every time and look at it.
Exactly.
So,
and you'll feel more confident. Like, if you are looking at this paperwork several times a day, every day for a week straight, you're gonna be good to go by the end of it.
Is the buyer agreement, is that a straight across the board thing? Like, everybody's is the same?
Oh, that's, and I love that you brought that up.
I mean, like, are you memorizing the same thing that every other agent is memorizing?
Yes and no. So our local association has a purchase agreement that we all recognize. Brokerage to brokerage. Okay. So like our association that kind of governs us as realtors in the Quad Cities specifically, we have like a Quad Cities style purchase agreement that's used in Illinois and Iowa, either side of the river. But so realtors, Landon said buyer agreement, not purchase agreement. Oh. And no, this is like huge that you brought this up, because did you know
Probably not.
Did you know that there is a an agreement. If you are looking for a property and I'm running around showing you properties, there's an agreement that I could just get you to sign. Just being like, look, man, like, you're having me do all this. Like, are you going to at least buy with me as your agent? You know, did you know that there's an agreement that I can get you to sign?
So then what? If I sign that agreement, then I can't buy a house using anybody else?
Mm-hmm. But would you? Or would you just, like, use me? Or, like, maybe if I didn't answer my phone at that exact time you felt like seeing a property you found on Zillow, would you call your other buddy? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so here's the deal.
That's tough.
This is how you want to run your business. So I personally hardly ever do exclusive buyer agency agreements. That's what that's called, buyer agreement. That said, this is a national podcast. In other markets, like some states, it's like they 100% do them. And some markets, they always do them, but it's not like a state law. So it's really interesting how each individual realtor can do business. Now, that said, I'm guessing if you want to go see any house, you're going to call one of your realtor friends that you already know.
Sure.
Right? And be like, hey, man, like, can you come show me this house? And they're going to be working with you. And you're just kind of like normally out of respect going to keep using them, right?
Yeah.
But like some people, Zillow is a really good source of income for a lot of realtors. And they'll get a Zillow lead and they're just clicking on Zillow crap. And it goes to different agents every time. And they don't even realize this. So this is like what I'm getting at is for these agents, if you're not going to have them sign a buyer agreement, I personally don't, but that's because we aren't required to do that. Your brokerage might have a specific policy that they want you to protect yourself or the brokerage on. I don't normally do that, but I will look you in the eye and be like, this is how it works. This is how I get paid. Just so you know what I mean? And at least level with you so you know, like, deep down inside, you're like a dick if you just like that one time go view another house and then write an offer with them and like I worked for you for like 3 months and got nothing out of it.
Yeah, and you can't really blame the other agent that they call.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Because 100%.
It's like, hey, I got one call. I showed them the house. They wanted to write an offer. I mean.
Mm-hmm. And that as an agent,
remember
when I said at the beginning,
who showed them a bunch of houses.
Are you working with another agent? You know, so there's a lot of like have your back things, but also go for what you want. Yeah, you can't. I couldn't blame the other agent. That's my fault. Either I did something in not securing my place with you, or I allowed myself to be a doormat, or you're just a dick. Sometimes that happens too. And the other thing is with exclusive buyer agency agreements, if you have them sign it, are you actually going to sue them? Like, because that's kind of the whole point of it. And me, I'm not really planning on suing anybody over something like that. So that's another reason I'm not going to have people sign paperwork that I don't personally plan
on
enforcing.
That you're not going to follow up on
if I'm not going to enforce it. Like, I'm not trying to scare you into it. But so my thing is, I'm just going to, if it's your job to level with your clients, have them understand how you get paid, and just practice that and be confident in it.
Yeah. And if you can find a way to do that leveling in a way where you're not being
intimidating. Yeah, don't
about
be a cringy, pushy, desperate salesperson.
Making
just because
it awkward.
Just because they walk into your open house, you don't own them. Like, it is up to you to like get them to know, like, and trust you. You know? So
yeah. Well, yeah, if you can get people to work with you just because they like you and they trust you,
mm-hmm.
then you won't have to worry about them working with anybody else. That's what's great about
exactly
with the client base that I've built mm-hmm. up over the years is, I like I said, you know, the people that called me this morning, they could have called Dish, They could have called, you know, they could have called a number of places to find out what was going on with their TV.
But they had your phone number saved.
But they had my phone number in their phone, and I was the first call that they made.
And that's the thing. Landon doesn't even work for Dish anymore. No, but they just,
I haven't for years.
And they don't even know you like that, but you're their guy.
Right.
And so that's what I try to get across to my clients is I'm your guy that knows. I am the one that has all the guys. Like, if you need a new roof or if you need new internet or whatever, call me for, think of me, your agent first. This is a lifetime relationship. So that
especially
is
especially for
you
people who
up.
Are moving in from out of town.
Mm-hmm.
That's invaluable for you to be like, you know, hey, I know you're moving in from Chicago. You're going to love it here. But call me because I got the guy for everything. 100%. You say I got a guy for everything. I got the internet guy. I got a plumber.
I am the hero.
Yes, I have.
And
whatever you need, I can hook you up with the guy.
And you're a hero to those people that you refer the business out to as well.
Sure.
They're going to be like, hey, I noticed so-and-so looks like they're getting ready to sell. You know, I gave them your card. It's just going to be reciprocal. So just kind of always have that on the brain. You know, I think I really threw a lot at our listeners on this and pretty much exhausted it for the show. I swear we will get into more things with buyers. But my last thought that I want to leave you with is if you are helping a first-time buyer and you really blow them away with that service without being – the whole point of this real estate podcast is to not be that cringy, uptight salesperson where they don't feel comfortable around you. You can be yourself.
I don't like dealing with people like
yourself
that.
Yourself is your biggest asset.
I like dealing with people who I feel like are like me.
100%, yeah. I'm saying that too much today, 100%.
100%.
That's my thing.
Do you have the little red 100 on
yes,
everything?
I do that.
Yeah,
it's on my like most recent used. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks a lot for being with us,
Landon.
Is it
over already?
It's over, man.
Man, that was easier than I thought.
I'm exhausted.
I wonder if Jay had to turn my mic down because I talk so loud.
I told you it was no big deal. Thanks a lot for listening. You know, I am Sandy Lynn Burnett. I'm brokered by eXp Realty. I'm a realtor licensed in Iowa and Illinois. If you have any referrals for the Quad Cities, if you are thinking about making a change with your brokerage and want to ask me about eXp, hit me up. I'm on Facebook. We have the page 2 Broker Girls, the number 2 Broker Girls, all one word, Facebook/2 Broker Girls, and Sandy with an I. So go ahead and look me up.
And you
thanks
can,
for yeah, Landon.
You can find
me
at
info.
Landon Ross on Facebook. You can email me at Landon@etcommunications.net. And like I said earlier, I'm not hard to find around town.
No.
You can search for me in a couple different places, or after the last couple weeks, you've been able to just ask, hey, have you seen anybody share that flyer? Because it's been going everywhere. I've had people say, man, I've seen your flyer come across my feed 12 times in the last 3 days. I'm like, that's exactly
and
how I want
that's
it.
That's how you want it.
If you want to find me, you can find me.
Or hit me up. I've got a guy.
She's got a guy. I've got the brains.